Hi, thank you for joining us and welcome to Guess What I Heard. So I would like to welcome up, please, Board of Supervisor, District 2 candidates, Chris Parlier, Dale Cisneros, and Peter Graff. Okay, so first of all, I want to let you guys know that, and this is for all the candidates that are going to be speaking today, we are recording this audio, and we're going to use it on our podcast, Guess What I Heard. You can find us on Spotify. And so if you don't want to do that, just let me know after, and then we won't include you. But we do want you to be there, okay? So here's our ground rules. Please adhere to the allotted time, which is not very long, because we're going to take 20 minutes for supervisor, and then we're going to take 20 minutes for city council. Okay, remain respectful. Don't make me intervene, okay? And don't interrupt each other, but I think that'll be okay because we're not going to really do rebuttal. This is really for us to be able to get to know you and what you're going to be able to do for Kern County. Okay, so I'm going to give each of you a minute. Penny, where's my friend Penny? There's Penny. Penny's going to be our timer, and she has a sheet of paper that says you have 30 seconds left or your time is up. Okay? Penny's very proficient at this. She has a lot of experience. Okay. So let's start with Dale. Let's see if your mic is hot. Is your mic on?
Testing one.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to give Dale a minute. We're going to give you each a minute to introduce yourselves. You ready, Penny? Okay. Take it away. 1 minute.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My name is Dale Cisneros. I'm running for 2nd District Supervisor. The first thing I want to say is that I'm not a politician. I am a grassroots, America first patriot, and I love this country. I'm proud of this country, and I know that we can make this country better. I am also proud to support Donald Trump, because he is also a businessman that is going to make a big difference. I am 30 years married to my beautiful wife, Lori Cisneros, which most of you probably know. She sits on the Kern County Board of Education, and she's been fighting the good fight. I have 20 years of experience in business management. It includes senior management, middle management, construction, finance, and as a controller, I understand budgets. So with this experience, I believe qualifies me. Thank you.
Okay, Chris Parlier.
Thank you so much.
Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Chris Parlier, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself and how I got to Bakersfield. 1985, right out of the United States Air Force, after serving 4 years, I came to Bakersfield. A couple of months later, I met my lovely wife, Debbie. We're going to go 38 years on the 27th, expecting our third grandchild here literally any day. So I had a very successful career with the state of California. I retired as a special agent with California Department of Justice, Bureau of Narcotic Enforcement. And from 2014 to 2022, I feel I had another 8 successful years as a council member and vice mayor of the city of Bakersfield. I served with Mayor Goh, and I see Jackie Sullivan out there. She sat right next to me for several years, and we just had a wonderful time on the council. During my time on the council, got a lot of things done. Hired 100 new police officers, brought back the police motor unit from 0 to the 20, instituted shot spotter technology downtown, which had nothing to do with my ward. Time? Wow, that was quick. Thank you.
Okay, and our third candidate, Peter Graff. Okay, ladies, he just had a loss in his family, okay? And he is here, so you know he cares, okay?
I'm Patty, thank you for, making arrangements for me. I lost my sister 2 nights ago, so things for the last couple days have been pretty hard. So my name's Peter Graff. Grew up in Tatchby since 1979. My father retired from LAPD, and we started our family up there. Became a police officer, had a business for over a decade where we operated out of Bakersfield, Lancaster, Palmdale, Mojave, and Tatchby. Very successful in that, had a great time with it till the recession hit. Then, like I said, fortunate enough to become a police officer, which would did all the fun narcotic stuff and got to play all the fancy games. But currently, I'm a watch commander with NASA police out on Edwards. But so carrying a badge and gun for 27 years now, I think it's kind of time where I want to be a voice now for the community, specifically the Republican Party. I'm not afraid, you know, to not be politically correct. So we need to speak up and stop hiding behind PC and go out and represent our party like we need to. Thank you.
Okay, so this next question, maybe we'll have Chris Parlier answer it first. And we're going to give you a minute and a half. Okay? Yeah, pennies are a gal. Okay, because of recent events in District 2, voters may feel that they're poorly represented. What steps will you take to ensure accessibility with voters?
Well, I was known as a rubber meets the road council member. I left in 22, and I could have ran for re-election, and I'm sure I would have been a shoo-in for it. I was extremely well-liked and respected in my ward, and that's because I was in daily contact with businesses and constituents, and I'm going to have the same mode of operation with the county. I'm going to really be there for our businesses. I was out in Taft yesterday talking to our oil industry, the way Sacramento is trying to just strangle the life out of that. I'm also supportive of East Kern. I heard a lot of folks, including Dale and Pete, talk about just the way East Kern isn't represented, and I am going to focus on East Kern like nobody's business, too. And Bakersfield, I was in Tejon Ranch just a couple of days ago, too, and speaking to those folks and just talking about different things we can improve our economy through branding, talking about law enforcement. Gosh, I had just a wonderful career in law enforcement and just so much success with the city of Bakersfield, and I have 30 seconds left. So I think I'm gonna do great. I am supported by Donnie Youngblood, the Deputies Association, the Kern County Firefighters, the Bakersfield Firefighters, and I'm really glad to have our public safety support, and I thank you so much.
Okay, Peter, you want to go? You want to give us a go on what steps you'll take to ensure better accessibility with voters?
Yeah, well, we're speaking of Eastern Kern County. We'll speak primarily of the rural areas, Maricopa, Taft, Fraser Park. Then you have Mojave, California City, Roseman, Boron, North Edwards. All these places, I'm not throwing any stones, but all these places over the years, they've been highly neglected. For the last couple of weeks, I've been out in Eastern Kern, and I've spoke to hundreds and hundreds of people. And they are so discontent out there on how they have been neglected and basically forgotten about. Their common theme, the common term, is the stepchild that nobody remembers. And it's horrible to hear that. And when I speak to the seniors, and I speak to the folks who have disabilities who are out there, they don't have accessibility to transportation. They don't have accessibility to medical. So that's one of the things I'm going to kind of focus on. With that being said, we need something out there for these folks, especially the senior citizens, the people who are unable to get around to their appointments, some type of transportation where we can set up for them so they can get to their appointments, so they can take care of their health. They need to know that they're recognized. And a lot of other things we don't have in Eastern Kern County, in the rural areas, like I'm Tehachapi. We're highly blessed up there, and I realize that. But these places also don't have programs for our veterans. They don't have programs for alcoholics. They don't have programs for people who are addicted to narcotics. We need to really step up and start addressing these problems because alcoholism, specifically narcotics and the fentanyl issue in our country, these are part of the problems that are affecting our community directly. And that goes to mental health and that goes to crime. So we can start picking away these things one by one. We'll clean it up, especially Eastern Kern. Thank you.
Okay, Dale, let us know what you think you will do to better engage and assure accessibility with voters.
The needs of District 2 are, I believe, very diverse. I spent some time in Taft talking with some leaders there and spent time in Eastern Kern in the different communities. Yes, they have been left behind, ignored, and what I can do is make myself available. I will make time to spend with each community in the way of creating town halls or even online so that I can hear their needs, hear their ideas, and then build a bridge between them and the other supervisors, and we can come up with solutions to those issues, problems, ideas. One of the main guiding principles in my life, and it's based on the commandments of Jesus. Because I am a born-again believer, and it's the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what that means is taking what I know from the Word and applying that to my everyday with the people. Second is love your neighbor as yourself. If I love myself, I will put them first. I will put the people first, and I will listen. I will give my heart to the people. That's what I'm about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Question two, again, a minute and a half for each response. So as Chris had mentioned, Kern County relies heavily on oil and agriculture, and these industries, I can tell you, I'm a farmer's wife, are under increasing hostility from the state of California. So what would you do to keep these industries in Kern County and at the same time diversify our economy? Do you want to go first? Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, oil is absolutely important in this area. And as long as I've been here, you absolutely recognize the fact that, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's two major revenues for this county, one being agriculture and the other being oil. And so what we need to do is we need to focus right now primarily on oil, although they're starting to regulate agriculture almost to where they're trying to run them out of business as well. But right now the attack is on oil. So we do need that. We need our crude oil. The crude oil that comes out of Kern County is what goes into everything we're sitting on, everything we're wearing, everything on the table. So we need to focus on that, and we need to start having a real conversation with these regulatory commissions and these bodies that are regulating everything we do, like CalGEM and CARB and the Water Resource. We need to really sit down and build a relationship with them so that we can start getting these fracking rights again, so that we start getting these drilling and leases going. Because without that, we're not going to generate the revenue that we need to survive here as a county. Right now, we're implementing measures, Measure K. We're implementing sales tax just so we can stay afloat. Nobody wants to be taxed to death. So what we need to do, as your representative, as your supervisor, I go inside there, and I'm going to build a rapport with them, sit down with them. And if they're unreceptive, I'm just going to become a pain in the butt until I can get some things done. We need to support our county, and we need to create jobs, and we need to bring oil back to our county the way we have been for decades. Thank you.
Okay. Dale, you're up next.
I agree with Peter. yeah, very good. I do believe that because agriculture, because oil are two of our mainstays in Kern County, has been for a long time. And we have too many restrictions and regulations coming down from Sacramento. It's time to stand, it's time to fight. And I mean fight by having conversations, having very serious conversations, and creating maybe task forces with the people in District 2, leadership in District 2, and finding ways that we can have those conversations to bring to the table what's reasonable, what's right for the people, what's right for local residents. Because what's happened is that with the shutdown in the oil fields, and now we see Chevron beginning to pull out more, it's a travesty. We need to have more support, not only from the local level, where we gather the troops. Well, we sit down and discover new ways, because we've got to have these jobs back. These job losses are too much for Kern County, and what happened is that we're losing revenues because of the oil fields that we're generating millions of dollars. And then the water resources that we have for our valley here. So we've got to fight for those. Thank you.
So I like their comments, but maybe that was a stand, you know, get some people in a room and talk and, you know, try and move things forward. That was maybe something to take 10, 15 years ago. What we're dealing with now is really a cult in Sacramento. They are after our industries, and they don't care if they turn us into a desert. When I was on the city council, I was on different committees with the California League of Cities and with people from Northern California, and you could talk to your blue in the face. And they don't really care about us or our industry. In fact, they look at it as an evil industry. And I think we need to, great, conversations are great, we need to have those. But we need to be unified, the city of Bakersfield, the county, our local industry, with our marketing efforts, with our lobbying efforts. We need to have those strategies in place and our legal efforts. We need to go after them every way we can legally, because honestly, I think that's one of our last things left. I spoke to an independent in our oil industry last week, and he said they feel, the local, the independents, feel like the forgotten bunch. You have groups like Chevron, international companies now, that have just left. They're going to go to different markets, and they've given up on California. If we don't, we can't give up on ourselves. We have to support these independents, but we have to look at a whole basket of strategies to get our oil back. Thank you.
Okay, this is going to be a hard one because you only have a minute, because we want to have a little bit of time for audience participation, okay? So the Board of Supervisors called for a committee to investigate election integrity. How do you feel about the Dominion machines, and what other issues would you like the committee to investigate? And Dale, we'll start with you.
The Dominion machines have, in my opinion, and from what I've seen in reports and enough information to prove to me that they are flawed, they are a problem. I believe we can go back to a one-day in-person voting with ID and for citizens only, because that's what we need. And I'm going to be working with, I plan to work with the other board members to remove the machines. That's the bottom line. So I don't believe that we have a democratic process with the machines. Well, we need to have fair and free elections, and it's by the people, for the people. So thank you.
Chris, take it away. How do you feel about Dominion and, excuse me, what issues would you like that committee to investigate?
I'm fine with that. Paper ballots, 11, you know, one person, one vote. But you don't want to end up in a Florida situation either with a hang chad. So I think whether we have paper ballots or not, we need to see what type of paper ballots. But one of the strongest things I think we can support, maybe some changes need to be done there, is the county elections office. When it takes a month to figure out an election, I think that's a problem. And I think we need to strengthen that, have oversight of that department to ensure that we have fair and free elections. Thank you.
Oh, the Dominion machines, right? Yeah, they're highly flawed, and they absolutely have the ability to manipulate them, and we've all seen that personally. As a matter of fact, 2 years ago, I was down with the Board of Supervisors, and I spoke to them during public comments, and I spoke against it, and I was absolutely disgusted when I saw everybody up there, Republicans included, actually give yeses to the $250,000 we spent on these machines, with the knowledge knowing that they are flawed, and nobody spoke up on it. It just kind of blew me away, and at that point in time, I thought, we really need to fight. And I spoke of it earlier too. Being politically correct sometimes needs to be out the door. Our system is highly flawed, and if we're not speaking up now, we are gone. We need to speak up as a group, as Republicans, as Christians, as people who live in this county, who live in this state. We need to speak up and have our voices heard. We cannot sit back anymore and pretend to be politically correct so we don't hurt somebody's feelings. I'm over it. So let's speak up as a group. Let's get rid of these machines. Let's go to hand count ballots and let's go back the way we should be. And for God's sakes, you need an ID to vote.
Okay, thank you very much. So we just have a couple of minutes because I promised you it would only take 20 minutes. Do any of you have a question for our candidates? Chris Parlier, Dil Cisneros, and Peter Graff. Please state your name.
Faith Darling. Thank you for running, first of all. And my question is, I was looking into helping with these harvest ballots. Because the only qualifications you need is to be a registered voter. So you can go anywhere, any place with ballots. Oh, you're registered, sign here, pick here. Oh, gee, they're a Republican, don't need those. Oh, you're on my team. Well, I'm going to keep those, and we're going to turn those in. And I know it's legal, but that's not right. There needs to be some background. There needs to be some something going on. Not unless us Republicans, we want to get into that ballot harvesting, and we will get those ballots.
Is there a question there?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
About ballot harvesting?
Yeah, how can
it's legal.
I know, but how do you keep it from people being choosy? They can read those.
I'm going to let you guys talk, but that's how the Democrats win, is ballot harvesting.
Yeah, you know, and I was just going to say that. And ballot harvesting, that's an interesting topic because for decades we've sat back and done nothing as Republicans. Democrats have done it for years, and we've stood by idle, letting them do it. So it's time we need to step up. And you know, I'm a Christian conservative. You know, I'm under God. This is our country. We built our country, you know, under Jesus Christ. This is how we were built. So that being said, if we're out ballot harvesting, do it legally. Do it with morals and ethics. Where there's no need, do we need to bow down to the level where the Democrats are? Let's utilize our morals and ethics. But absolutely, we should be out there doing the exact same thing. If it's legal, go do it.
Well, it's legalized fraud, is what ballot harvesting is. And I agree with Pete. If they're going to do it, we got to do it too. Until things change in California, but we know that's not going to happen, so if whatever you're given, you have to compete in that arena. Thank you.
And I also agree. It is legal. But I think we can come up with a better system to be able to verify each vote in some fashion. You know, and I do think that we need to join in ranks in the way of coming together, creating that team to bring in the vote. I mean, that's what we're struggling, because as Republicans, we've been trying to play it safe or vote at the time that we're supposed to vote, and it isn't working. So yes, I agree with ballot harvesting, but I think we need to do it with more legitimacy and integrity and honesty. So, thank you.
Okay, please give a warm BRWF thank you to our Board of Supervisors District 2 candidates, Chris Parlier, Dale Cisneros, and Peter Graff. Thank you so much for being here. Good job. Okay, next, we're going to hear from our city council candidates. We're so excited that they're here. It's City Council Ward 5, which, as I understand, is sort of this area right around where we're sitting and having lunch today. So will the following candidates please come to the podium? Mike Madrigal, Kevin Oliver, and Larry Komen. Perfect. And does everybody want to grab a mic? That seems to work out pretty well. Do you guys want a glass of water, too? You want to have a little water next to your... Okay. Thank you, Larry. Oh, one of the candidates left a binder. We've got it for you. Okay, so same basic rules. We are recording. We're going to use your answers on our podcast, Guess What I Heard. You can find us on Spotify. And if you don't want that, then just let me know. Okay. So again, adhere to the allotted time. We're going to do 20 minutes, so try to be concise. Don't make me intervene, right? No interruptions, and I'm going to rotate the speaking order, okay? So I'll give each of you a minute to just introduce yourself. How about that? Would you like to start, Mike?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first off, I'd like to say thank you to the membership for the invitation to be here today and for the opportunity to speak here. And I'd like to also kind of point out somebody very important to me that's here with me today, my wife, Eileen Madrigal. So a little bit about myself. I am a Kern County resident. I've lived in Bakersfield for the entirety of my life. I have three daughters that I am currently raising. So please pray for me. They're all in high school right now. They are attending Stockdale High. And a little bit of background on the professional side is I work for an environmental company that manages operational agreements with the County of Kern, provides a sanitation services. It's dirty, it's ugly, but it's very, very necessary. Also, kind of in between that time, I was in the military. I was a Marine, and I served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it looks like I'm out of time, so.
Okay, Kevin, you're up. How about a one-minute introduction?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today? Great. How was lunch? Wonderful, wasn't it? They always do a great, great meal here. I love that. A little bit about myself. I did not grow up here. I actually grew up in Santa Barbara region. And I know, where we have some great wine country out there, but I did come up here. My little brother was a chief medical officer at San Joaquin. I came up here actually to help take care of my father. And we ended up just falling in love with the people, and the people are what make this community, to be honest with you. And my wife and I and my two boys, I raised both my boys. They went to Ronald Reagan all the way through Warren and then Stockdale. And then my oldest boy graduated from Cal State here. And then now they've gone off to their own. It's just my wife and I know of over almost 40 years now. But former military, I was in Naval Intelligence, stationed at FICPAC, as well as on the USS Kitty Hawk. Thank you. After a brief, stay in the military, I went ahead and I got out, went into the computer industry, and then into real estate, built a business here, and with a lot of good conservative vows. My father worked with Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite presidents. So, but what we want to do is build a good city here. So, thank you. We got it. I think they're going to pick the hook on me. So.
Yeah. Okay, Larry Komen.
Yeah, it's hard to get a 30-minute speech into a one-minute presentation. So, yeah, my name is Larry Komen. I've been in Bakersfield for about 30 years. I didn't realize that until I started to write my bio for the campaign. I go, 30 years? Oh, my God. I didn't intend that. I've been here since 1994. I was a project manager for State Farm. We built a big building there on Old River Road that's now abandoned, but another story for another time. I was a home builder for a while until that became a euphemism for being unemployed. I've been very active in the community over the years. I served on the redevelopment agency for the city of Bakersfield. I was the president when Governor Brown took away all the money for that. I serve on the planning commission for the city of Bakersfield, Measure N committee, and I also serve on the California League of Cities as the first vice president of the planning and community development department. And I see that lady about ready to raise my time, so I'm going to talk to you to raise it. There you go.
Okay, you. Great. Okay, thank you, gentlemen, for being here. So homelessness is pressing all over California. Walk us through what you can do differently in city council to address homelessness And Penny, we'll give them a minute and a half. Okay, and we'll start with Larry.
Okay, good deal. Any opportunity to talk, I'm ready to go. So, homelessness, yeah, big problem. Yeah, I supported the Brundage Lane Navigation Center back in the day, and it was very controversial. And I supported it for one reason. I believe that we need to move the homeless people out of the encampments in our neighborhoods. But we're all humanitarian. We've got to be humanitarian about it. So I wanted a place for them to go. And so I've been a very big supporter of having places for them to go. And we've done that over the last few years. And we have adequate bed space now. And we have court decisions that allow us to go in and break up the encampments. So we need to be more aggressive about that. We need to be encountering the homeless people in our neighborhoods and offering the services that we have. And if they don't want those services, they're going to need to move along. And we need to be more aggressive about that. But I want to say that not everybody on the street is homeless. You know, some of us are older, and we remember they had different terms in those days. It wasn't always homeless. There were bums, and there were vagrants, and various things, which meant different things. A lot of the homeless people are not cutting the catalytic converter off your car. Those are criminals riding around their bicycles, robbing, whatever. Okay, so we need to draw a distinction between homelessness and criminals and give the police the tools they need to round those people up and get rid of them as well. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, would you like to take that question? Homelessness is pressing all over California. What can you do differently in city council to address it?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, as you kind of look at homelessness, think of like an onion, right? There's a lot of layers to it, right? And that first one is enforcement of the current laws and city ordinances that are in place, right? What I mean by that is obviously supporting a police force, having a very healthy police force to kind of combat that. And we look at why people, or the kind of reason of why they're homeless, it's either, you know, kind of two things. Number one, some form or type of substance abuse and mental health, right? So, but with, you know, a very strong police force, which we all know that, you know, retention is really low right now with certain departments, especially City of Bakersfield Police Department. We've all heard of, you know, Measure N, and that, you know, was formed, not formed, but it's also a tax to, you know, provide more police officers for the city. And so I think it kind of starts with that.
Perfect. Thank you. Kevin, you're up.
All right. As a current county planning commissioner and a former city commissioner as well, I talked to a lot of the different businesses as well as a lot of our citizens there in regards to homelessness. And as a real estate broker here, we deal with this on a daily basis. I've been spit on, I've been cussed at, I had guns pulled on me, as well as I had a gentleman come after me with a machete. We have issues in our city. Okay, as a real estate broker, I deal with it every day. Now, what we need to do is to continue with the removal of the Prop 47, give our police officers the tools to be able to do that. We need to be able to give our district attorneys to be able to be able to handle this. You know, I was one of the ones with our church that helped start the flood ministries. So we need to be compassionate with some of these folks, but yet we need to be firm, okay? Because homelessness, when you see somebody sitting there laying in the dirt, this is not a way to live. We need to be able to have the tools to move some of these people out of the public areas and into places like our navigation center. I also support, let's do a carrot and stick. So let's go ahead, if we're able, and we need to check on the laws like this, but if we can go ahead and say, listen, you don't want to go to the navigation center and get the drug or the mental health and things like that, help that you need, you can go to jail and get them there. One of the two. Thinking I'm out of time.
Great. Okay, Mike just mentioned public safety, and crime and public safety are ongoing concerns for many of us. Many of us are single women. So what policies would you promote to ensure safety, and how would you work with law enforcement to effectively address crime to ensure your ward and our neighborhoods are safe? And we'll start with Mike.
So I guess I formed a question, right? Safety. My wife of 18 years, when I deployed to Iraq back in 2007, I did fear for her safety. And so what she did, what we kind of talked about, she did, and she was a little reluctant to the option at the time, but she became a CCW owner. And I think... Thank you. And I think we're all responsible, really, for our own safety. I think the police department, with the kind of slow response times, aren't always going to be there for your safety. And so I would say that I would definitely... promote more CCW issuance from the city. I know the county does a really good job, but maybe we can get the city to look at that and increase the CCW permits.
Okay, sorry. Sidebar with the mayor here. Okay. Okay, let's go with... Yeah, I was going to say, let's go with Kevin. Thank you.
Okay. In regard to crime, yeah, that is one of our main concerns. I know I'm a member of the Downtown Business Association, the DBA, and I hear from the business owners down there every single day. Issues that we have in crime, we need to give the tools to our law enforcement officers. And it's not an enforcement issue. Our cops, our police officers are arresting. We need to be able to change some of the policies and the laws to be able to keep these people in jail. That's our problem. Our law enforcement officers do a superb job, but we do need to continue to do that. I mean, I come from a law enforcement family. My father was a cop. My brother-in-law was a cop. My father-in-law was a cop. I had the most heavily armed wedding that I know of. But the thing is, and these agencies are not just agencies to me. They're family to me. And we need to give them the tools to be able to get that. But I know places like Rosemary's, when they went ahead and they pulled out just the stuff out of their freezers, they got, maybe $50, $60 worth of stuff. It cost Rosemary's $10,000 to replace that. We need to stop this crime immediately.
Thank you. Okay, Larry.
All right. So yes, safety is the number one issue. A safe community is a strong community. We need to be backing our police and our fire, but our police especially. We need to give them the resources they need, but beyond that, we need to help the county find the places to put the people we arrest. At this time, they don't have facilities to accommodate everybody we could arrest. So these people are out back on the street before the officers finish the paperwork. So we need to help the county somehow. We need to sit down and figure out how we help Donnie Youngblood have more rooms at Laredo for us to put these people. But the police and the fire need to be our number one priority on all of our budgets. And in everything that we do, we need to give Chief Terry the help that he needs to recruit more officers. You know, we're trying to add officers, and it's just a slow process because every time you add two, you lose one. One retires, one gets injured, is off the job. So we need to find some tools to help them recruit more officers. We put in a training center. We have our own academy now. So we're ready to go. We just need to have the focus and the resources to be able for them to do that. So, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. You heard me ask the Board of Supervisors candidates kind of about oil and ag. Okay, that might not apply exactly right here. Well, ag would. We have ag very close to this area. But what ideas do you have to diversify the local economy and attract new industries and entrepreneurship? And we'll start with Kevin.
Well, I mean, as an entrepreneur myself, I've built a couple of businesses here in town. I am open to entrepreneurship fully. I know we are, our cornerstone is on oil and ag, but also here more recently, it's logistics as well. with some of the building. As a Kern County Planning Commissioner, I've gone ahead and I've worked with. Matter of fact, I just met with CRC yesterday in regards to some of our, doing some of the CO2 storage and things like that that is going to go ahead, which I would suspect is going to have some good support within our community. That's going to help oil and ag. And I support that as well, being able to, help reaching out to some of the other cities and things like that and see what kind of business we can do. Another thing in regards to building the economy, is, and I know Bakersfield does this a little bit better than the county, as a county planning commissioner, I know, we need to help redo some of the permitting and the planning processes here and streamline that even more so than I know that the mayor had done some great things here, and I applaud her for that, what she did. But I'd like to take that even a little bit further so that we can help attract and make it easier for businesses to come here to Kern County, which we know is one of the best counties, and we are the most producing counties in all of California.
No. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Larry, and then Mike. Okay.
Thank you. You know, that has to be a real big priority for us to bring more businesses to Bakersfield especially. One of the things that I like about Bakersfield, one of the things that drew me to Bakersfield, was it reminded me how San Jose was when I was a young man in the 60s growing up, where it was starting to become suburban, but it was largely agricultural. And so the house I grew up in, lower middle income, low whatever it was, and then I could jump over the fence and go into the fields and get the tomatoes off the vine or the bell peppers, whatever they're harvesting. Well, we kind of, that went away. And so I want to help us not be like San Jose and not make some of those same mistakes. But what I like about it are, living right now, this is the last community in California where you can go and get a decent job, make good money, and the house is still affordable, so that however you define family today, one of those family members can stay home and take care of kids. Last community in California. The way we, and what has happened is the housing prices have gone up, the incomes have not. So we need to attract those businesses with good incomes, with good salaries. So we need to have a task force of people willing to work with these businesses that come to town. State Farm, when they came to town, nobody realized it, but insurance companies don't pay any property taxes. So the county didn't get property taxes for that. They gave up something to get all the jobs and all the people, and it worked out very well for the community. So we got to make deals. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Do we have any questions from the audience? If nobody has one, I have one. Oh, great.
Hi, my name is Carol Smith. This might be a minor thing, but when a trash can gets stolen, and you can see it going down the street, and then you have to get another one, I think it's around $90. How can the city do that to somebody? All right, it's on you now.
So how do you feel about having to pay $90 after your trash can has been stolen?
It's under $900, so I can't do anything about it, but yeah.
Okay. We need to repeal that proposition.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
I think all of us have something to say about that, because all of us have noticed that. We see the guy pushing it, and go, hey, wait a minute, I just ordered one of those, it cost me $90. So. Yeah, that's that whole thing where how do we prioritize what our police officers are doing? And we see it all the time in all the YouTube videos where cops are getting into problems because they're doing dumb things, right? They're bothering people over stuff we probably shouldn't be bothering about. So we need to work very closely with our law enforcement, Chief Terry and the sheriffs and all that, to make sure that they're prioritizing their work properly. You know, I don't really want them we need the traffic police, but they can slow that down a little bit. Maybe we can refocus some of that to chase down these people that are stealing the trash cans and getting the trash. Now, I'm not saying you got to trade one for the other, but we need to be careful about how we prioritize our law enforcement, and we need to help law enforcement make those decisions, because oftentimes when you're a police officer, you know, you get paid for arresting people, right? And so they get on a track, and they need the public input to get them on a different track. So that's my
great spiel. Okay, and I made a mistake. I did not allow Mike to address the question, what ideas do you have to diversify the local economy and attract new industries and entrepreneurship? Did you do that one?
Well, I did have an answer for it, so I'll be really brief, and thank you for catching that. So I think we have a lot of long-established businesses in town. We can all agree, right? Luigi's, I know we've all visited that fine establishment. It's actually over 100 years old, and I know Pyrenees is probably a little bit older. So there is a lot of long, you know, kind of established businesses in Bakersfield, but how do we kind of increase that, you know, overall? How do we optimize that, and then how do we enhance that type of climate to attract new businesses? I think we would probably start off first by making it easier for entrepreneurship, whether that is discounted, you know, business licenses, if it's something like a first-time business or maybe veteran-owned businesses that the city can do, you know, proposing something like that.
Wonderful, thank you. And while you're up, do you want to address the trash can question?
I was hoping I'd get a garbage question. So thank you for your question. And that's my forte, I'm a garbage man. But so to answer your question is, probably wouldn't arrest the guy, but you need to talk to who your hauler is, because there's a franchise in the city of Bakersfield, or if it's outside in the county. And there is provisions in those franchise agreements to replace those you know, containers. It has a life cycle. However, if it gets sometimes stolen, such as your case, or sometimes the garbage man forgets to, you know, actually releases the arm too early and it goes into the garbage and then we see it out the landfill. They are replaceable and there is numbers. The city of Bakersfield obviously picks up in the metro area, but I would get with your local hauler and they would gladly replace that.
Good advice. Okay. Kevin.
Okay. This comes back to one of the corner things in my campaign here as well, and it's crime. And one of my favorite mayors as well is America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani. And it comes down to the broken window theory, okay? And we need to arrest and prosecute these small crimes as well, because they go to larger crimes. We need to stop them at the smaller ones. So, you know, the police can arrest. We need to change some of the policies as well as some of the legislation to be able to do this. I know I've been endorsed already by Donnie Youngblood, as well as our own Jackie came in and said she's going to allow me to, you know, to use her name as well. She endorsed me today. Yeah, thank you, Jackie. So, our own. But other than that, we need to take care of the little things. And hopefully we can peel off, you know, as we hire some more officers here, be able to commit, get a committee as well as a group, a handful of them to work some of those crimes. And I'm sorry that your trash can got stolen.
Okay, please give a warm BRWF thank you to our candidates. City Council Ward 5 candidates, Mike Madrigal, Kevin Oliver, and Larry Komen. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Okay, I don't know about you. I don't live in these two districts, but if I did, I would have a really hard time deciding between these candidates. They were wonderful today. Please give them another great hand. And Carol Smith, yes, Mayor Goh would like to give you a garbage can in replacement. She said she'd please see her after the meeting.
Okay, Linda, back to you.
Okay, 97 is going to be Liz Newman. Liz, are you still here? Come on up. Okay, and how about Lisa Costner? Was she still here? Okay, how about Chris Duncan? Cecilia Hermes. Sorry. Cynthia Hayes, still here? Cynthia Hayes is here. All right, ladies, that's it. And thank you, everybody, for being so supportive. I'll get these from you in a minute.
Okay, I hope you all enjoyed yourself today. We'll be here next month, October 8th. Same time, same place.